All right, everybody, Larry Lawton back for another great edition with Gary Massey, him getting out of prison, and here's some questions we're going to have also. But before we get started,
thanks to my sponsor, Manscaped. We're getting personal here. Here's the top three reasons prison is the only place to have long nose and ear hair. It makes you look crazy, but you don't want that out here. So I'm Manscaped. The Manscaped Weed Whacker Nose and Ear Hair Trimmer keeps you free of crazy hair with skin-safe technology, reducing nicks and snags. And its rechargeable lithium-ion battery lasts up to 90 minutes. Second, with crazy nose and ear hair, you look freaking dangerous. In prison, that's great, but out here it sucks. I like to be presentable. The Manscaped Weed Whacker powerful 9,000 RPM motor with a 360-degree dual-blade system makes you approachable. You know, 79% of partners say long nose and ear hair is a major turnoff. So third, that's a look nobody wants to get with. But out here, I get all the right attention with my Manscaped groomed look. And listen, some prisoners tame their crazy hair. And those screams you thought was someone getting no, that's nose hair pulling. Go to manscaped.com/jewel and get free shipping and 20% off. Avoid the crazy bushy prison look and get the right attention with Manscaped.
Alright, Gary, welcome back again.
Thanks, appreciate it.
Last video we talked about you in prison. Now, as a guard, he was in prison. Now you're getting out, you're going to a halfway house. Where do you go?
Well, I was scheduled to go to Savannah, which is only an hour from the house. Where I live is basically right in between Jacksonville and Savannah, equal distance to either city. So my sister and my two brothers came and picked me up and drove me down there and get to Savannah. And they're like, you're not supposed to be here. We don't even have any paperwork on you. Yeah.
So where'd they send you?
They ended up sending me to Charleston the next day.
Charleston, South Carolina?
Yeah. I spent one night in Savannah.
And they shipped you back off to Charleston?
They said that we got an opening in Charleston. It was like their sister, Austin Wilkes Society, is the name of the halfway house.
I got you. I said, contractor.
I said, can I go to Jacksonville? Because I knew people in Jacksonville, too. I knew people in Savannah.
Sure, it's close.
At the halfway house, I knew a lot of guys that were in prison.
So you end up, okay, they won't let you go. Do you think that was a BOP thing?
Yeah, and good job, BOP. You sent me all the way to Big Sandy to be away from contacts, and then you throw me in a halfway house with guys that's been in the penitentiary and in Jessup. And if I'd have been a real crap bird, I would have got the dog shit beat out of me.
Yeah, well, they don't care.
They
don't care. The
BOP justifies whatever they want.
Exactly. So now you go to
Charleston. They sent me to Charleston, and where they put me in Charleston is... It's called the Austin Wilkes House. It's on Meeting Street in North Charleston, which is it's the hood. It's the black area. And I was the only white guy when I first got there. The whole time there was only two white guys, but I was the
staff. How many people?
I think the men had about 45, maybe. Okay. I could be wrong, and the women had maybe 4.
Okay.
Something like that. So, I go in there into Charleston and walk in there. I'm the only white guy around. You got to find a job in this area and all that. And what happened was I had a friend named El Amin from Jessup. He was in Jessup with y'all. And I had always, and we'll talk about later some of the silly stuff I did that helped guys out. It's stupid, but it's funny.
We're going to talk about that. We're yeah. Questions here.
So El Amin, he sees me and I was so glad to see him. I hadn't seen a real friendly face in a long time. And he's like, Massey. And he comes over, he hugs me. He's like, I'm so glad you're here. You're safe now. Then the next day, or 2 days later, Big Ock came. He was from Jessup.
I remember him, yeah.
Big Ock was a serious person. He was in for something, a large amount of armed robberies. He kept crossing the line between Buford and in going from South Carolina to Georgia, South Carolina.
That's what made it federal.
Yeah.
Yep, I remember.
And he was a serious dude and a good friend, a great friend of mine.
Quiet, but
very
good dude.
Great. So when he comes in, me and him are tight, like me and you, real tight. He hugs my neck. So he's a big gangster. That's just how it is. He was a big gangster. Yeah, I don't know what he's doing.
Right, right, I got you.
He was a great guy, though. And he's still alive, I'm sure. I haven't talked
to him. Oh, sure. He was my age.
So the first night he's there, he has his family bring in a bunch of, because in the low country, we like the seafood. And he brought in a bunch of shrimp and fish and for the whole halfway house. And we're all sitting there. We're enjoying it. And Big Ock comes and sits right beside me. And Ock means brother in Muslim. That's what his nickname is. And he goes, he stands up and he goes, hey, I want all y'all to know, because there was guys in his crews and all that there. He goes, he's with us. He's a good guy. He's a stand-up guy. And I'm vouching for him. He's with me. And I was like, cool, that was pretty cool. And it paid off later because I was walking down to go to the bus stop. Only white guy in the whole area. Not being racial.
No, absolutely not. You're not a racist. I know that for a fact. No, not at all. Neither am I.
So I have to go to the bus stop, and there's some younger guys in their early 20s from the halfway house. They're on the other side of the street. And I'm walking to the bus stop, and there's some younger black guys at the bus stop, near the bus stop, before you get there. I know, you know, they're going to try and hustle you or do something ill. And not just the stereotype, it's just where it was. And the guys from the halfway house, they see me, and they go, do their little whistle, their gang whistle, you know. I ain't going to say what it is. They do a gang whistle.
Right?
And the guys in front wave, throw up their hands, right? And they throw their hands back up at the guys. Then they holler at me, Massey, what's up? And I throw my hands up. And when they did that, them guys eased off the sidewalk. And
they knew you were good.
They knew I was with them.
And you were good.
But could I do that today? No, those guys don't know who I am.
No, but that's okay.
And then there was another incident there. We all worked at the shipyard. That's where most people worked at. So we're at the shipyard. And one of those guys that did that for me, there was a lot of Mexican people there that were on work visas working in the shipyard. Well, he stole this guy's cell phone because we had hung our coats up outside. And he said, I seen him standing over there at our lunch area. It's all outside. It's, you know, a shipyard. And there's probably 40 or 50 Mexicans and two of them. And I could see arguments going on. I'm like, man, this is going to be bad because we're going to get swarmed. So I walk over there with them, stand with them, the two black guys. And I was like, what's going on? They said, they got my cell phone. And I was like, well, now's probably not the time to get it. I said, if you do something, I'm with you. But if you don't, I got a better way to get your cell phone back. And they're like, okay. So we walked off. They're like, what's your plan? And I was like, there was this liquor store where everybody cashed their checks at. And around the corner from the liquor store is the same bus stop where all these guys' friends are at. So everybody, when they got off on Friday, would go cash their checks, then go to the bus stop, then go home. I said, look, man, have some of your friends or point them out, show you that guy, catch them when there ain't 50 of them, and get your cell phone back at that time.
Right.
So they're like, yeah, dap, whatever. Think nothing of it. I was just defusing the situation. They did it.
Did they get the cell phone?
Yes, and a little extra. So Friday, whatever happened, I don't know, allegedly. So I didn't go straight back to the halfway house. I cashed my check. I had to go to the store. Time I got back to the halfway house, these guys, now this is a good week later, they're in the halfway house. All of them are laughing and yelling. And I was like, what's up? They're like, we got that cell phone back, plus a little extra. It was payday. Sure. They robbed a bunch of them. And then they told the story, the young dudes, not the older guys. That looked out for it. Like, yeah, and Massey gave us the idea. I was like, oh, I just made a suggestion.
Yeah, you don't want to be involved in anything else.
But they bought me Chinese food that night.
Well, you deserve
it. So that did it.
I mean, and then when you got out, you went home.
I went home, and it was very difficult to find work. I don't know why. It's not a high job area here. It's a rural
area. Did you have a bad reputation or a good reputation?
It depends on who you talk to.
No, I mean, that's a good question. Like, yeah. Obviously, in the law enforcement community, they think, oh, but, you know, you and I both know they're fucking, a lot of them did shit or didn't get caught. You know that. That's them, man.
You know
what I always respected about you, Gary, is you didn't rat.
Yeah, no, I didn't rat. That came up too.
You know, we talked about that, yeah. And I think that's important. Now, I'm going to ask you some questions I got from people.
Yeah.
So I hope you can, you know, answer them, and your answers are your answers.
Love to.
Did you ever fear being caught?
I knew the risk of doing what I was going to be doing, so I assumed the risk. As far as like,
did you ever think somebody was following you? Did you ever have that feeling?
I was always like a little paranoid how I did it, but obviously I made a mistake because I got ratted on. But no, not really. You didn't fear it.
Okay.
No, I wasn't running around paranoid looking over my shoulder. I wasn't flipping about it. I just,
I mean, you were trying to be cautious. You just got caught. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I knew the consequences. Okay. So I knew what I was getting into.
Okay. Did you ever have interesting encounters with Larry?
With Larry? Oh, my God. I defer to you.
Wow. I used to make...
Yes, we had a lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff. Garrett, the officer, the guard station was first, when I first met Gary, he was Officer Massey, of course, but we didn't call him Massey.
Everybody called him Massey.
We didn't fucking call him officer or anything. He was Massey. His office was right, like the guard shack was right in front of my cell at the time. As a matter of fact, that's during 9/11 too. And we used to give him pasta. I used to make the pasta and I used to take the microwaves. I did all this and he loved the pasta. Yeah. Hey, we used to trip the breakers because of the stingers. And we'd say, Massey, you got to go trip the breaker for us. Sure, he'd do it. Also, he was one of the good guys. And a few others would, like, let us know if a guy was a scumbag. Like, if a guy was no good, and I'd say, hey, guys, this guy no good. I don't want to fucking have to do any paperwork. And he goes, give the thumbs up or the thumbs down.
Thumbs up.
And we knew. And right away, get the fuck away from me. He ain't coming near us and stuff.
Because
I knew Gary can go and get that information.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. Here's another question.
Wait.
Also, go ahead.
What about you drinking and I just made you go to bed?
Oh, you did all the time.
For a lot of guys.
Gary would, we'd drink and I'd get fucked up. We'd all be fucked up, hammered. And he'd tell you, go to your cell. Don't come out. Or if you're so fucked up, I remember him telling the other guy you're with. Take him to his fucking cell. And
not just you, a lot of guys.
All of them. You were such a good, you were a stand up guy. You weren't a guy we feared that was going to come shake us down and take our shit out of ourselves. I don't think I've ever remember you shaking my cell down.
If I did shake down a cell, it was more.
You didn't
like,
give a fuck.
I would just walk in and go, yep, looks good.
Yeah, and write it in a book, right? Yeah. Whatever the fucking book had. You never bothered us.
Yeah, if nobody was bleeding and it wasn't bothering anybody else, do what you want.
You know, you were right. You tell the story about the party.
Oh, the Super Bowl party.
I used to do party. Okay, tell them those.
You want your story?
Well, you tell them how I used to throw a party.
Holidays in prison. I saw your video on that. 100% accurate. They suck pretty much.
Yeah.
Maybe not the 4th of July. You get to eat pretty good, and it's not it ain't a sentimental holiday, though.
No.
But Super Bowl is like the carnival and Mardi Gras rolled into one in prison.
Everywhere.
So Larry and another guy gets together, and they have a massive Super Bowl party plan. And they had flyers.
Oh, flyers and food.
And they're like,
everything.
We're having a
party.
We
had a fire in the room. You remember that?
Yeah.
We were cooking in the fucking TV
room. So these two units were going to have this big party, the Super Bowl party. Well, the guard, somebody ratted them out to the head guard, the lieutenant. And so he calls down and he's like, they're having a Super Bowl party there tonight. And I like the Super Bowl. I got to eat too.
You were always taking care of
it. It was fun to me. Super Bowl was fun. Oh. Yeah, guys would get drunk, but you know,
get in
a cell or I'll shut that shit down.
No, we did the right thing.
Yeah, if you come out, that's on you, man.
That's right.
So anyway, so he's like, we're going to come down there after lunch and we're going to shake down both units. And I was like, okay, I'll take care of it. Hung up. I was like, they're coming down here after lunch.
He told us all, hey, guys, they're coming.
And I did that again another time after you were gone.
What did we do? We hit all the shit.
Hit all the stuff. Some of it hit it in my office. Yeah. Like the tomatoes or whatever.
Oh, man. We had so much food. Yeah. And I remember buying cases of soda and everything off the commissary. And booze. You know, we had booze made and who had drugs.
But our interactions were day-to-day. We talked just like we're talking now.
Right. Absolutely.
I was insulated from... Sort of like if an inmate's talking to Massey, he's a snitch. That wasn't the way it was.
Not with him.
Because
absolutely.
I didn't cross the line as an officer either. I wouldn't go, hey, Larry, where's this?
Or never asked me for
not
anything.
Not one time. I never asked anybody. I didn't care. And I let it be known. I just didn't care.
Yeah, and you didn't even dislike the snitches.
Yeah,
you used to say, this fucking guy coming to me.
Leave me alone, man.
Yeah, what's this fucking idiot coming to me
I was busy doing union work at the time, and I just didn't want to be bothered.
Leave us alone. What the fuck? We got fucking
so
dozen
our interactions
years.
Were just like, we both were into sports betting.
Yeah,
and, I had friends that
were. We had a ticket. He'd look at the football
ticket. Look at the tickets. Yeah, guys would ask what I was betting, remember?
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
They were like, what you got? And then stuff like that right there was our common thing.
Here's some more questions. We got to get right into them. Which made more money, a guard or a smuggler?
If you were a full-time smuggler, you would make way more money.
Oh, sure.
100%.
Listen, I told a story. There was a guy in prison making $10,000 a month. and the guard was making $4,000 a month cash free. I mean, that was money. And he was gone. He was still doing it when I left. So maybe he's never got caught. Maybe. And I hope he didn't. Okay, another one. Did you ever feel empathy towards inmates?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, you always did. I mean,
that's honest.
Absolutely did.
You know, there's psychopaths there, of course.
Oh, no, and I tell that all the time.
There was one guy in C unit that I used to harass, but I never really told anybody his crimes. I'm not going to say his name now.
I don't want to know it.
No, but he had abducted a lady, and I think he was a serial killer that just got caught for another crime. He was a trucker, and he abducted a lady and took her all over the U.S. for a two-week period, mutilated her, cut her up. She lived. But whenever I found out about that, I was like, man, every time I saw that dude, I tried to make him miserable.
Yeah. Oh, I don't blame
I would
him.
Shake him down and just do all kind of stuff.
Well,
Other than that, I get that.
What was it like dealing with Larry?
Great. Same as it was dealing with me.
Absolutely. Again, Gary wasn't... I didn't even look at him as a guard.
If you get respect, you give respect, or vice versa.
Absolutely.
So that's how it goes.
What was the worst thing guards ever did to prisoners?
Name it, I mean...
Well, I mean, I know the beatings and stuff. My stuff is pretty bad. You knew Edgefield was a bad place, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you knew that. I guess I always... I mean, the medical...
The medical is a good answer on that because the other is subjective.
Well, you get a bad guard, you get a scumbag. When I was beaten, it was scumbag. Medical is all over the BOP.
No, medical's terrible. Horrible.
Were there any close calls that almost got you caught? And what was the worst thing you smuggled into prison?
I never smuggled anything but tobacco. And creatine. That's the guard's honest.
Did you almost ever get caught?
No.
No, coming in? Okay, good. Do you have any advice for prison guards today? I love that question.
Prison guards today, that's a good question. They're not all bad. They're not all good. Maybe to look at somebody like they're human and empathize sometimes. Everybody has a bad day, you know? Everybody, guards and inmates. Don't let, like, a bad moment define who you are, you know?
That's a good one. Yeah, and treat people with respect.
Period. Be respectful.
I mean, be respectful. Hey, listen, like I said, as an inmate.
I didn't do it out of fear. That's just how I live.
No, you do it now. I mean, I talk about that as a convict. You know the difference between an inmate and a convict. I was a convict. And I always say, listen, you respect me, I'm going to respect you. I got to listen to you. I get it, man. But that's it. And I agree with that one. Yeah. Did you ever do contraband?
What's do contraband?
Well, I mean, did you ever do drugs yourself or anything like that?
When I was a kid, maybe.
Yeah, okay, so you never got into it, so you never were an addict or anything?
No,
like that.
The only thing I ever done...
Well, people don't know. I'm only asking a question.
The only thing I ever done... No, it's a legit question. I don't mind answering it.
Because I've done every drug in the book, Gary.
Mainly sweet or alcohol when I was a kid.
Gotcha. No, that's cool. You know me, because people on my channel know I fucking did every drug in the book. I just, now I like my weed, and I do it because I got a bad back, I got a medical license.
Right. Well, you have a license, too, in Florida.
Okay. How did being in prison change you as a person?
That's a really good question. It changed me a lot. It made me more humble and more empathetic towards people, not to be judgy of what someone drives or where they're working, because... When I first got out, I had to end up working two fast food jobs, one at a fast food restaurant, flipping burgers, and one driving pizza. And I did that for 2 years. I went to machinist school.
I have a lot of respect for you.
I appreciate that.
I do.
And I had to go to machinist school in the meantime. So I was a late night driver till 1 o'clock doing pizza.
Just to make ends meet, man.
Get up at 4 a.m., I did the breakfast shift, and then go to school at 2, from 2 to whatever, and have maybe an hour. But it's hard. It's difficult. It's easy to fall into a criminal lifestyle, even if you're not a criminal. But you can't let the man beat you. You got to have the attitude, yeah, I'll do this fast food. No problem. I'm not too proud for it.
Good for you, man.
And you got to do that. And if I take anything away, it's just don't judge people just necessarily because they're working a certain job or don't have a good car or whatever. Not that I did before, but it opened my eyes up. A lot of people are doing the best they can.
Good for you. That's a great, and a lot of respect for you, Gary, for that, really. What are your thoughts on the prison industries?
Prison industries is the biggest racket. I don't even see how it's legal.
I say this all the time. That and private prisons.
That's what I meant. It's together.
But together. Private prison and the prison. You know, here they're putting people out of factory work and all that bullshit.
They made the t-shirts for the military in Jessup.
Yeah, and in Atlanta they made battle dress uniforms and furniture. Mailbags and furniture.
Yeah.
And they fucking take jobs from...
jobs from the community.
At slave wages.
At slave wages, they'd have paid the guys in Unicor a little better, but it was like maybe $6 a day or something. How much?
It was 60 cents an hour. So what is that? 8 hours? $4 a day.
When they let them do the overtime.
Oh, yeah. Overtime. Yeah, right. Okay. How did you get caught?
I got ratted on. How you always get caught.
Yeah, you got ratted on. By an inmate?
It was a guy I was doing business with.
It was one of the guys. Did you do it to multiple guys?
Maybe.
Well, okay. You don't want to get into it.
Yeah.
But my point was, usually most people, like, you know, they have something good going and they want to expand it.
Right.
And they get to more people and then that's when they get caught. Is that kind of
That's not how it went. No, the guy initially, I wasn't in my main unit where you guys are all at.
So you went to a camp?
Yeah.
And a fucking camp.
Yeah. And one of the guys are ratted.
Okay.
I don't even know why. I guess my judgment ain't that good. We're pretty good at judging people.
Yeah, we are very good.
We're really good at sizing people up.
Most people are. Yeah, like you are. Guys like you and I are,
but
very much.
I guess that time I got fooled.
You got fooled. What led you to being a guard in the first place?
What started my career as a guard in the first place was my wife was, we were having twins, and I needed a steady job with the benefits.
Good enough.
I didn't like it. I even wanted to quit, but she was like, Gary.
I always told you were more gangster than God.
Yeah, you always did say that. Well, our family, you know.
I got
you. You know the stories about my cousin.
Oh, yeah. But you didn't even know your name, right?
Yeah, Massey's do stuff. We don't talk stuff. So. My cousin ended up, I'm not proud of it, but he killed a guy over some money. He shot him with a shotgun.
Yeah, you told me. I know that whole story. We know what made you start doing it in the first place, because for the last video, people didn't watch it. Gary got into it to help support his mom's cancer therapy.
It was that, but I did continue on.
No one said you were. Listen, you started for the right reason.
Yeah.
But
same with me. I kept doing
it. I did it differently. It was an insurance job. And then I said, wait, this is too much easier.
I'm telling you, I was a very arrogant person back then. A lot of my priorities weren't the same. I love my wife and my family. That's my main priorities today.
Okay, it's a good question. Obviously, you received money. How much did you get?
You can't talk about that.
Okay. That's a good question. I'm glad.
That's a good question.
It's a good question.
It's like this.
Let me ask you a question.
A pack of cigarettes is $200.
Okay. A pack of cigarettes, $200 in the joint. Wow. See that, people? $200 for
a pack
of cigarettes.
But you would even make more out of it because you could spoil
them. I know how. They make 10 cigarettes out of a cigarette. They're called the little rollies.
Right.
But is it safe to say that you helped your mom out?
I did help my mom out initially.
Okay.
Just for a short period. She was diagnosed with that, and then she got...
But you helped her out.
The terminal diagnosis. She's like, I'm not
It was quick money,
anymore.
And you did it.
And she passed away, and that was it.
I mean, obviously, okay. Did your family ever catch on to the fact that you were smuggling, or did they know?
They had no idea.
Wow, that's
a
good
question, too.
My friends
didn't have an idea. I know I disappointed some people in the union, like Leonard and Aaron and Big Will. But I, in my family, 100%, I let them down. But they just went through so much embarrassment. They made it such a big deal here. It was on the TV, in the papers, the radio. And, yeah, I let them down quite a bit. So, but, you know, it is what it is.
Okay, did both of you guys become, how did both of you guys become friends in prison?
Me and you. Common talk.
Right.
I don't remember if I said this, but it was safe, like I was saying before, to come talk to
him. Yeah. Because first of all, we did it out in the open.
Anybody, and it was out in the open. Anybody that we liked.
Right.
Nobody would be like, Larry's a snitch.
No.
It wasn't like that. They're like, he's talking to Massey. It's okay.
No, I talked to him right at the station. Anybody could hear. Anybody didn't give a shit. What kind of stuff did you hear about Larry or even know about Larry?
Nothing bad. I mean, I knew he was, you know, we're in a prison, but I didn't think he was a bad guy. He was a jewel thief. I knew he was mob connected. We have a common friend that's mob connected, and he hung out with us.
And that was it.
We have a lot of friends that were outlaw bikers, a lot of friends.
Did the prison system treat you the same as other prisoners once you were convicted? Better or worse?
Worse, by far worse. I told you the one story.
All right.
And actually, after I was there at Big Sandy for a while, after I had things rolling really good and prison was rocking on, one of the guards there told some inmates that I was a guard. I guess it wasn't good enough that I was doing time. They wanted me to be tortured, but it didn't go down that way at all.
Right. He was fooled because your reputation followed you.
It did.
And I tell that to people. I did a lot of time, and I was in six major prisons. And my reputation followed me every prison.
Your name follows you. It's just saying with you, if you went to prison today, I'm not going to prison for anything.
Me either.
But if we did, they're not going to be like, oh, it's Larry and Gary. Can we get your autograph? It's not going to go down like that at all.
No.
But they will come up and say, who are you? What's your charge? What have you done time before?
And then they're going to know right away.
And then when they say that, they'll check on those facts, and then they'll know who we are then.
And then you're good. Absolutely. And it's the way you carry yourself.
Correct.
You know, every prison I went to, I knew somebody.
Correct.
Obviously, through Con Air and everything else that went and everything I did. Okay. Do you think that guards who do terrible things should be held accountable?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Of course, there's some sadistic guards.
Sadistic. I mean, the guys who did to me, I think about that. And look, I get that. I get a feeling like I'd like to fucking grab one of them.
Exactly.
But, I have to catch myself because I'm not going to go lose my life over that scumbag.
Right. Look at you now.
Yeah,
look at you. Look at them. They're probably miserable
or
drunk,
a good
and
point.
Their liver's rotted out or something.
Do you regret what you did?
100%.
No, wait, let me stop you for that. I always tell my audience, they ask me, do I regret being a criminal? And I don't think regret's the right word. The word regret is just something that can keep you down. Would I do it different? Absolutely. But you are who you are, Gary. You're a good dude. You're now at your age. You got a great daughter. Your wife's
three
still
daughters.
Thinking. Three grandkids. You wouldn't be where you are. Who knows what would have happened? You are who you are. Maybe even a better person.
That's a valid point.
Would you do it different? Of course.
I wouldn't do it again.
I don't mean the crime even.
If I thought my mom was going to die, I would do it again.
I just don't believe in the word regret. I know the person that asked that.
Here's what I do regret, 100%. I did put my wife and children through a lot of embarrassment and a lot of pain.
And I feel that from you. And we talked even on the side.
Yeah, what is the hardest thing to deal with that you caused them. And I way regret that. And
again, a regret, you would do it different. Regret's just a terrible word.
I would never hurt them.
Never. And you never wanted to. Regret's just a word that it's who we are. You know, we get to this age of my life. I'm 59 years old. And I think, I did a lot of things that were bad to people. I mean, I was just a bad guy. I laid people's arms. I was a bad guy.
No, I know.
And I can't look at myself. I had to forgive myself. And I had to, reach out and did stuff and try to forget. And you can't live with that. Otherwise, you're not living life.
That's fair.
So I agree with that. Well, that's the only word with the word regret. When you were a guard, who did you have a stronger relationship, staff or inmates?
Mainly
inmates. That's
a good
question.
Mainly the inmates.
That's a great
question.
Because
we have some mutual friends, and me and Larry's are friends. But there was probably three or four guards that I still talk to, and I consider them as family.
Absolutely. That's a great question. And
but as a whole, I got along far better with the inmates. I actually loved going down to the unit.
You knew where they
stood. To get away from the staff.
You knew where they stood.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something else. I'm not saying this to make anything flippant or light. When I was at Big Sandy, it was honestly kind of a relief to be around people that had went through the same thing I had been through.
Sure.
The government's pounding you. You got drugged through the mud. And you're around all these guys.
And you're looking at someone, look what I did.
Exactly.
And there's a guy who's a rapist who's doing nothing or whatever.
Exactly.
And I'm fucking going to jail for fucking cigarettes.
So it was kind of it wasn't bad to be around like-minded people.
Yeah, mate, that's a good one. Okay, do you think most guards in the federal system are corrupt or abusive?
Most, no, not by far.
What percentage?
We talked about this earlier.
Is it
10%? Not half. It's not half.
No, I didn't say half.
Maybe
but
a quarter.
I would say 20%, 25% of guards that just don't belong being guards.
Oh, there's more than that. It's a higher rate that shouldn't be guards.
Okay, maybe. And some are just
their whole training criteria needs to be changed to
you know, the reason I only say that is because, I think they give, like cops, they give the wrong people badges of power, authority. Agreed. Over people.
But there's mainly good cops.
Oh, no, no. Well,
and you want them.
Listen, of course. I'm not one of these defund. I always say that. No,
that's ridiculous.
But I am for holding those fuckers who kill people and 100%. Do shit. Fucking, they should be in jail. Agreed. They should be held accountable because a cop is the only person who can take your liberty.
That's true.
Now, a guard is the same thing. Here's a guy that's over another man with the word that says authority. And when they can't handle that, because they were beaten up. They were a kid. How many did you see?
Yeah,
how many guards did you see come in and you say, this guy don't belong to a guard?
Exactly.
That had to get you saying, like, get the fuck out of here.
Come in looking like Boo Boo the Fool, and you're like,
what the fuck is this guy doing here? And you know he can't handle it.
It'll have to be hard, but...
But he can't handle it when the shit really goes down.
No, they're going to crap their pants.
Right. And, you know, those are the kind of people that I look at and I say, man, come on, guys. What the fuck?
And then they'll be sadistic. Oh, this big guy here does what I say.
Yeah.
You know, and you're going to bully him like Barney Fife or something.
Right.
I don't have any time for that. I used to tell guys, I was like, if you start some crap and you get me involved in something like a... You're getting beat down because you started this. Yeah, I guess we'll have to pull them off of you. But
then I'm gonna.
Me and you are gonna have a big problem for you doing that.
You were totally like that. I know you are. I remember you talking about that shit. You were totally like that, which is good. All right, we're gonna end this part of this. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's Gary Massey answering questions. He's our BOP guy now, and when we need answers about what's going on at Bureau of Prisons or what it was like, at least in that time. You're going to get answers. Gary's still got a lot of connections, and it's good to have a guy here who's willing to tell the truth right from the heart. And I again, thank him for that. And like, remember, I always tell you, remember, redemption is possible for anybody. I don't care if you're a guard, a cop, a person, or a kid who's on drugs, or a kid out there who's struggling. Redemption and change is possible. Just make the good choices, guys. Don't go where I went, and don't go where Gary went. This is not worth it. Everybody knows that. So just make good choices. Stay tuned. Pass this around. Please share the video. And if you haven't subscribed, subscribe. Thanks, everybody. Stay tuned.